Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into Beats Research Radio, a podcast and YouTube channel dedicated to bringing our community closer to research in the science and engineering fields. My name is Felix Lamonté, a student from the Translational Molecular Medicine program at the University of Ottawa, and I'll be your host on today's special podcast episode for the Science Communication TMM 4950 course. End-stage kidney disease, a condition characterized by chronic vomiting, nausea, and fatigue, occurs when your kidneys are no longer able to support your own body. One of its leading causes is diabetic nephropathy, a complication of diabetes that affects 30 to 40% of diabetic patients. We have the privilege today of being joined by Dr. Dylan Berger, a scientist at the Ottawa Hospital Research Institute. His lab is interested in determining how extracellular vesicles contribute to the progression of diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, and kidney diseases. Without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Dylan Berger to our Beats Research Radio interview. All right. So, yeah, Dr. Berger, thank you so much for sitting down with us and taking the time to answer some questions about your work. So one of your main research topics in your lab is about the roles that extracellular vesicles play in diseases like diabetes and hypertension. Would you be able to explain what extracellular vesicles are and kind of the role that they play in healthy cells?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me. So extracellular vesicles are essentially small pieces of a cell membrane, that the cell decides to release into the environment around it, so just outside of the cell. And the key here is that the membrane stays intact, stays complete, so that a cell can package material like protein or nucleic acids into the vesicle. And the vesicles can play a number of signaling roles. They can be released for the express purpose of signaling, of transferring something from one cell to a neighboring cell to change its function. So one example of this is that's been described as a cell transferring a receptor to another cell so that it can then communicate with that cell via release of signaling molecules. But there are also some vesicles that are formed only under stress conditions or injuries, and these may be released to get rid of unwanted material, such as cell death machinery, or to promote inflammation or coagulation, so for example, to counteract an infection.
Okay, nice. Very interesting. And what is diabetic nephropathy, and why is your lab interested in this condition?
Yeah, so diabetic nephropathy, or what we now kind of more commonly refer to as diabetic kidney disease, it's a complication of both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, where there is kidney injury, and it occurs in about 1 in 3 people with diabetes. So it's very common. And if left unchecked and it progresses over time, can lead to kidney failure and requiring dialysis or transplantation. So a very serious complication, one of the most serious complications of diabetes. And typically this first appears as an increase in protein leaking out of the blood and into the urine. And this happens because cells known as podocytes, which are responsible for kidney filtration, become damaged and are no longer as effective at keeping the protein in the blood. And as I said, over time, this can progress to the point where the kidneys are no longer removing toxins from the blood, at which point you require either transplantation or dialysis.
And so diabetic kidney disease, what's the impact that that has on the microparticles that are released by podocytes?
Sure. Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that certain types of vesicles are only formed under stress conditions or injuries. So microparticles are a type of vesicle that is formed after cell stress. And my lab has actually shown that diabetes stimulates the release of these microparticles by podocytes, and we can actually find them in the urine of animals or individuals with diabetes.
Okay, and so when these podocytes are... when the microparticles are released by the podocytes, what's kind of like the impact of like this release? Like, is there any like specific like pathways that are activated, or like, yeah, what's the impact?
Yeah, so I don't know that we fully understand the impact of these on disease. That's one of the main areas of active research in my lab. But one thing that we have shown, and others are beginning to show as well, is that these vesicles coming off of the podocytes, these filtering cells in the kidney, can actually cause damage to the tubular cells that are neighboring. So the podocytes sort of feed into the kidney tubules. The kidney tubules are right next door. And these podocyte vesicles, these microparticles, cause a scarring or a fibrotic response. And that's really important because fibrosis is actually what drives the process to kidney failure. So a filtration deficit on its own doesn't necessarily mean the kidneys aren't clearing the blood anymore. It's really when you get this fibrosis in the tubules that you start to see this decline in kidney function.
Okay, nice. And for one of the articles that I'm referencing that was published in 2018 about the impact of the microparticles released by the podocytes. Do you have any other ideas for what would be the next steps for your lab to complete to try to push your understanding even more of the mechanism of this intercellular communication in between the podocytes and the proximal tubular epithelial cells?
Yeah, I mean, I think one possibility here is can we find ways to interfere with this signaling pathway, right? Can we block this induction of fibrosis in the kidneys? Because if you can do that and you can prevent or even slow fibrosis, it can have a transformative impact on somebody. Any drug that can slow progression to kidney failure, can prevent kidney failure, really has a humongous impact on people's lives, because dialysis is usually, you know, 3 times a week you're going into the hospital to have your blood cleared by a machine. So anything that prevents or delays that requirement has a transformative impact on people's lives. So I think new therapeutics with respect to kidney disease is one area where I think there's a great possibility. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be in diabetes. Fibrosis is really a common central endpoint in kidney disease that leads to kidney failure. So things like glomerulonephritis also have this same kidney fibrosis pathway at the end.
And are there any specific medications that are being tested right now to have a potential treatment for these kind of kidney diseases?
So there are drugs that are known to have antifibrotic effects. One of the most effective drugs that's slowing progression of kidney failure is ACE inhibitors, or angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors. They're normally used for regulating blood pressure, but they've also been shown to have a very key effect on kidney fibrosis. And surprisingly, actually, they also seem to have a slight effect, not a major effect, but a small effect on release of extracellular vesicles from podocytes as well. So that may be one part of their mechanism of action. But in terms of drugs that are specifically targeting vesicle-based signaling and fibrosis, that's very much at the experimental stages right now. My lab has shown that a receptor called the CD36 receptor might be involved in this. And so targeting that might be one pathway. But this is something that's quite far from clinic at the moment.
Okay. Very interesting. And to kind of pivot away a little bit from the specific diabetic nephropathy, for extracellular vesicles in general, what's their potential to be used as biomarkers for certain diseases, and how could that be used in a clinical setting?
Yeah, I mean, the key here that makes them really appealing as biomarkers is that they retain the contents of the cell that they come off of. And because of that, they're almost like a mini snapshot of what's going on in the cell. So they have two sort of values as biomarkers, right? You can count the ones that are formed on cell stress and just infer that there's cell stress. And so my lab has done this in a number of conditions, for example, looking at endothelial extracellular vesicles formed under stress conditions. And if those are elevated, that's usually a sign of vascular injury in an individual. So we published a study not too long ago looking at pregnant women with diabetes. And what we showed was that the women who had the higher levels of these endothelial extracellular vesicles were at greater risk of adverse pregnancy outcomes, like requiring NICU admission or lung developmental issues. And we tie that back to the fact that probably the maternal vasculature was stressed, and that's why we were seeing the high levels of the vesicles in the first place. So counting them is one approach. It's probably the most immediately clinically applicable approach. But really what's fascinating about these is the ability to go in and look at what's in the vesicles and really look at what's happening. And so a lot of people sort of refer to this as a liquid biopsy, where you can take a urine sample and get an idea of what's happening at the molecular level in the kidney. You can take a blood sample and get an idea of what's happening to the vasculature at the molecular level. And so Advanced technologies like RNA sequencing for the RNA content or proteomics for the protein content is looking to sort of identify what's changing in disease in these vesicles.
Okay, perfect. That covers all the questions we wanted to ask you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us, and we're all looking forward to your future endeavors in your lab.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this special interview with Dr. Berger. This episode was produced by Noah, hosted by Felix, written by Fatima, and audio production by Heli. All copyrights reserved to Beats Research Radio and the University of Ottawa.